Welcome to Escape This Podcast, a show that's a mix between tabletop role-playing and escape room puzzles. This is the seventh room of the 14th season of the first show we ever made, Escape This Podcast. Every episode we have guests come on and they play through an escape room that exists just in the audio space with a little bit of the digital space and a couple of pictures and I suppose in the physical space. It exists in a lot of spaces, but it's mostly audio. And this episode we have two returning guests welcoming back for the first time since season three, I think we just worked out. Welcome back, Jason Ritter. Oh, hello.
That can't be right.
So excited to be back.
Chronomaly was not season three.
Did I make that up?
I think you've made that up.
Season, like,
12?
Five,
maybe?
Five. Five's so much closer than three.
It's an odd number,
oh,
but...
Oh, that case, we don't even care.
Seven? I'm just throwing out odd numbers. I'm just 21? Trying to show off that
21?
I know all my odd numbers.
Be optimistic.
Oh, very impressive. It'll be very relevant to solve the room.
Oh.
But you won't be alone solving this room. You'll be joined by a first-time guest for you to play with, but many-time guest of the show. Welcome back, Matt Yule.
Hey, how's it going? Hi, it's nice to see you guys.
Welcome.
Happy to be here.
We're very excited to have you on. I think you two will work well together as a team. I think you'll solve everything in 10 seconds and you'll be done with the room and you'll be like, where's the rest of it? We're like, oh, no, we'll have to improv for 50 minutes. I think that's a fair guess.
I hope so. Now we have only the room to embarrass ourselves terribly.
Exactly. We're very excited to have you back on. Jason, we usually start this. We ask about like people's escape room experience. And I will preface this by stealing your stories already by saying we were recently in LA doing some escape rooms with you and had a lot of fun doing some very cool rooms.
Yes.
So I'll ask formally, hey Jason, are there any updates to your escape room experience since last you were on the show?
Yes, I did a very weird 10-minute long escape room.
Ah.
That was my daughter's first escape room. And it was my first family escape room with Melanie and my daughter. And it mostly just was me running around trying to figure out this strange... The video was broken. all of the sound cues were way too loud. And it was very weird. Like, you would figure out a puzzle and you would hear piped in an incredibly loud creak that would drown... that would, like, a door opening that would drown out the sound of whatever little thing opened in the room. So then you wouldn't know like what it was. And also with 10 minutes, and also my daughter was, you know, it was a pirate themed and she was a little bit like, it's too loud. And I was just like, it'll be quick. Let me just figure out all these puzzles. So I kept on being like, hi, I need a little help. And then he'd be like, look under the swords. And I was like, oh, that's okay.
There's no worse thing in an escape room when you know something has opened, but it's in no way obvious.
One of the first
rooms that we did was one where it was like, once you solve a puzzle, it'll unlock a drawer. What are the drawers? Well, they all look like cobblestones, and they are randomly placed throughout a wall of cobblestones. And one of them will now be loose, so please check all 70 cobblestones to see if one of them's loose now. That's the one you unlocked. You're like, hey, that's not a puzzle. That's nothing. what are we doing?
That's just a time-consuming task.
Yeah, that's when you take the 10-minute escape room, but you want to sell tickets for 40 minutes. And you're like, I don't know, check all the cobblestones over and over and over again? Yeah, that'll be good. They'll love that.
Exactly.
When you said a weird escape room, I thought you were going to talk about the one that we did together in LA, which involved multiple puppets and strange characters and a very odd setting and like rave music. And it was very, that was also a very strange escape room.
It was. And it also had some very loud sound cues. Remember when all of a sudden that rock music started and the strobe lights and there was a wolf guy trying to stop us from, or no, it was a chicken.
A chicken who didn't want you to take their egg.
Yeah. And also in that one, when we had to crawl through at the end and there was like a wolf or a witch chasing us, I was legitimately frightened, I will admit.
I agree.
I still have a slight scar on my leg from scrambling through that tunnel because I was so scared.
Oh my God, we're going to get out of here.
That it might have been me biting you, trying to get ahead. I was just panicked, like every man for himself.
We gotta go.
And Matt, do you have any updates to your escape room experience? You were on the show not too long ago, so
what
I can't imagine.
That's
my Bluffer's recent... Point, the lighthouse episode from I think last season.
Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah,
it was good.
The one that I ran.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
No, all my most recent room escaping was with you guys. It was either when you guys came out here or on your show. So I have not done any escaping of rooms between then and now. So true. I know I won't be rusty because I've never been particularly good at it. So
that is true. Go, we did on the same trip that we were doing runes with Jason, we did some runes with you
and
had a lot of fun. They were very good runes.
Yeah, I don't think I could have handled the one that you talked about with the chickens and the wolves and the crawling.
Oh, you could. It's only for escape from people like us and Jason. You couldn't handle it, kid.
It's an LA style.
Yeah.
Nice. So the other element of this show is it's escape rooms mixed with a sort of tabletop role-playing style. So going reverse order, Matt, what is your recent tabletop role-playing experience?
I actually have this time. Me and my brother have been doing, there's a place in Portland down the road from me called TPK Brewing. They brew beers.
Nice.
And they have game masters and dungeon masters on call at the bar. So they run games there and they do like an ongoing storyline in the world they created. We missed chapter one. We did chapter two. And we just started chapter three. And it's fun. It's every other week on a Saturday night at a bar, eating food and playing D&D with a group of very nice people. So very cool
Excellent.
Place.
What's your character like?
He is a cleric of domain of knowledge. I have skill proficiency in just about everything that never comes up. It's okay.
One day.
He's a very nice fellow.
It's always sad when you're like, I'm going to join this campaign. We're going to have a character who's going to be like, all this is all skill checks. Yeah. He's going to know everything. He's going to know all these. And they go, great, this campaign is set in a dungeon. You just fight the entire time. Like,
good,
me.
Perfect.
Offer the one tip that I have learned from multiple pieces of media about tabletop role-playing things is if it feels like there is going to be a murder mystery involved, always pick a special skill of smelling.
Smelling. You've got to be able to smell.
It's a cheat code.
Lovely. And then Jason, have you had any tabletop role-playing experience since last you're on the show?
Not since last I was on the show. It's funny, most of my like Dungeons and Dragons experience was with my friend. All we really had was a piece of paper and like a dice bag, and the rest was just our dungeon master, my friend Jasper, who just had this still has this incredible imagination and would just come up with these worlds, and they were brutal and funny and amazing. As far as tabletop sort of role-playing games, I have been trying since probably 1990 to get my brother and my sister to play this. We played this game called Hero Quest, which was like a Milton Gladley like board game version where you're as a dungeon master, Zargon, everything's laid out. Like you get a little map with all where the monsters are and all this stuff. And it was so fun. And I got like all four extension packs, and there's like all these quests that I have ready to go. And it's just about trying to get people to sit down and play.
That's the challenge.
Do our quests
every time.
Yeah,
but
no one ever has the time to sit down and play. So, with that being all said, I think we're good to get into the actual game.
How's everyone feeling?
Are you ready to?
I'm feeling excited. Escape.
Sorry, what? Sorry, one more time. I don't think that's a word. Just one more time.
I'm excited.
I don't think that's how you pronounce that one. It's just excited. Oh, okay. You just say excited. It's fine.
I'm ecstatic.
That's closer.
I'm very excited.
Wonderful.
Same. All right. Scared, as usual. Ready.
In that case, Danny, I think you can.
Let's morph you two into one character body and get this thing started. You knew getting your super rich event manager uncle to give you this usher job would pay off one day. You just knew it. You've sat through awards, conferences, school recitals. Every boring thing the concert hall could possibly hold. But finally, it's a concert. The first international tour of legendary band Mousetail. And you get to stand at the edge of aisle EE, view of the stage mostly unobstructed. You get through the usual part, leading people to their seats, giving suspicious looks at people who have brought outside food but not actually caring enough to confiscate. Then you lean against your wall and wait. The opening act comes and goes, and then the drummer and guitarist, Tessa LaPointe and Jacob Finkel, emerge from behind the curtain, arranging, preparing their instruments. Apparently they never trust crew and always do it themselves. This goes on for a while, the crowd screaming themselves silly.
Yeah, master! Yeah!
You can't help but notice that the lead singer, Mark Coleman, hasn't yet made an appearance.
Where's the lead singer?
And he's meant to be the pickiest of the lot. He's also the most prone to mood swings and temper tantrums of the lot. What if... No, he wouldn't disappoint a crowd of tens of thousands of fans on his first international tour, right? But in the pit of your stomach, you're beginning to feel worried. Tessa and Jacob up on stage are looking confused themselves, and it seems like they're making their warm-up stretch on longer than it should. Just to draw it out in case Mark is running late, and you can't help but think that's not a great sign. And then you get a buzz on your walkie-talkie.
Could you come backstage to the green room right away, please? Just you.
Oh boy, okay, that's ominous, but you know what? You're here to do a job, so you obey. And oh wow, you're in Mouse Tail's green room. Oh my god, this is incredible. The co-worker who buzzed you approaches. You don't actually know their name, you've only ever heard it through the walkie-talkie, so to you it's always just unintelligible. In their mumbly voice, they say, "You're a fan of these guys, right? You know them pretty well? Because the singer's missing, and as you can see, there's a big old mess in here. I'm worried something happened when I went to the bathroom. I was hoping you knew enough about him to figure out what it was, where he'll be. This gig is pretty important to the venue." Not just to the venue, to your uncle. He's the event manager. If the event fails, people assume it was mismanaged. You promise to do everything you can to get Mark found and ready to go on stage ASAP. And grateful, your co-worker, unintelligible, leaves and takes your position at aisle EE. And, oh boy, unintelligible was not kidding. The green room is kind of a mess. You have come in through a door in the south wall, which, if you return through, leads you to the big curtain that separates the stage from backstage. In front of you in the green room are a pair of tossed around sofas and a mini fridge. Bottles are dropped on the floor. Near the east wall is a stand meant to hold warm-up instruments, but they're now on the floor too. Against the north wall is a full costume rack, and attached to the west wall is a TV monitor. There's also in the middle of the room a coffee table that seems undisturbed. It's got a glass bowl of M&Ms on it. Seems a little odd that that hasn't been thrown around, but okay. And besides that, the only things left are the brick walls themselves. Definitely no Mark Coleman. Well, not yet, at least. And that's it. That's all you got to start with.
I have a few questions right off the bat.
Let's see how many of them I'm prepared for.
We are an usher in this concert hall.
Yes.
We're not usher.
You are not usher.
Okay, no. That's my first question. Second question is, as a big fan of Mouse Tail, we would know Mouse Tail, T-A-I-L, T-A-L-E?
T-A-I-L.
Okay, that's what I thought. And also as a big fan of Mouse Tail, we know all the songs. Let's go on stage and take all we can do it.
No one will ever realize.
Okay, those were my initial questions. Matt, where do you think we should, what do you think we should do first?
Deeply tempted to beeline for the M&Ms, but maybe we can find out actual things first. Maybe what kind of instruments are on the floor?
Oh boy, they are guitars, or they were at least. The band, or maybe just Mark, has kind of gone to town on them. If these guitars were sitting nicely in their stands, they would be quite a sight. Each one has a different colored and shaped body with transparent sections so you can see right through them in places. For warm-up guitars, they're actually pretty fancy. But not only are they very much not sitting nicely and rather strewn across the floor, there's a reason that you can only notice details about the guitar bodies. And that's because not one of these guitars still has its neck. You can see a picture. You pick them all up, you put them in some neater rows, and you take a look at them.
Yes, for people at home, you can see this image in the show notes. But Jason, would you like to describe what you're looking at for the listeners at home?
Yes, I am looking at five guitar bodies. One is a red kind of classic Fender-shaped guitar. One is a blue V-shaped kind of guitar. There's a purple violin kind of shape.
Yeah. I say it reminds me of frilly t-shirts that I had growing up.
They do, yes, exactly. And then there's a black guitar or a gray guitar that looks kind of like a star with the top point ripped off. And then the bottom, on the bottom, there's a green circle like a banjo type of thing. But it does have six strings, so it's not a banjo. That is all very interesting.
I probably should have asked beforehand, how prominent a guitarist are either of our players today?
I play guitar.
Same. All right, that's not going to bode well for me. Pretend you don't. I'm glad that you recognize these as guitars, at least.
They look great.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I wonder if this is a part of a... Should we just keep looking around the room and see if...
Is there any kind of indicator on the stand where the things go? Or we're not going to know until we get some kind of neck on these things and start moving around, maybe?
You could probably put them back in their stand if you want them to... If you want to show them the respect that they deserve. They won't sit particularly well without their necks, but it's a gesture.
Yeah, I'll do the gesture just to get them off the floor. I'm nervous about that.
That's nice. Okay, and there's empty stands and these smashed up guitars, and that's it.
Yep, there doesn't seem to be anything else to notice there.
Should we look? Should we make our way around the room? Look in the costume rack.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe there's a detective costume.
Yeah. That is one of my favorite thing in escape rooms is like finding stuff and putting it on as we go. I love it.
The costume rack has a reasonable selection. The brightly colored, elaborately sewn pieces of clothing, a bunch of accessories. Mousetail is known for having some fun with their costumes. You've heard there are some rules that they follow to pick the right ones for every concert, but you know they haven't toured internationally before. You haven't really followed that too precisely, so you're not sure. You haven't looked it up. People in the audience might know. Hopefully by the time you get Mark back, he knows well enough so he can get dressed quickly.
Are there any pockets on any of these costumes?
Some of them, yeah. You want to give them a rifle?
Yeah, I would love to rifle through.
Right. You pickpocket some of these costumes. You dig your hands into all the ones that have them. Most are empty, but what's this? In the pocket of one costume that, if you had to describe it, it's like... You know, the character of Long John Silver often has a parrot on his shoulder. It's as if they merged the two together. It's Parrot Sea Captain. Not Pirate Sea Captain, Parrot Sea Captain, for sure. But irrelevant. You find four bottle caps in its pocket.
Do they have anything on them?
They certainly do.
Ooh.
One of them, the first one you look at, on top it's got a picture of a cat. Meow. And you flip it over and it's got a number 3 on the underside.
Okay.
There's less of a sound effect that you can make for the number 3.
Yeah.
3.
The next one has a picture. The next one has a picture of a horse and a number 2.
2.
Next one is a duck. With a number 5.
4.
I kind of want to change this one on the fly just to see how weird an animal sound I can get. But the last one, who knows? The last one is a deer.
Hello, I'm a deer.
I think that's perfect, yeah.
Oh, hello there.
With a number 0.
Oh. Clearly these are ratings of how rideable these animals are.
Wait, is the cat... Hold on.
Cat is slightly easier to ride than a duck, but not as easy to ride as a horse.
And a deer, you just can't even try.
Wait,
don't even get close to a deer. What's it gonna do? Like that's
wait.
Crazy.
So 0 is the worst.
Yeah.
But yeah. 2 not for the horse applicable. is pretty good.
Oh yeah, wait, yeah.
There's,
just,
there's
two?
One better rideable animal in the world than a horse,
which is the cat, which got 3.
Yeah.
this system. No wonder they stopped using it.
So now this makes me feel like, should we go look at the bottles?
Because yeah, I'm into that.
All right.
You circle the room. You pick up some of these discarded bottles as you go. They're of a variety of different brands, similar sizes, all empty to the last drop. And you find six of them in all, and we've got a picture of that for you.
It's coming. Right. It's coming. Hold on. I gotta
hurry up.
I can't see them. I can't see them.
No, hold on.
What's wrong with your eyes?
For people at home, you can see these bottles in the show notes, but Matt will describe them to you.
Ah, okay.
So there are six bottles, and I'm gonna describe them in order on a page, not in order of numbers, just to confuse everybody.
Sure.
Because there's a bottle that says each one at the top with the label goes around the top of where you drink. It says first, third, sixth, like that. It's got a number. And then a label on the body of the bottle that says words. So the first one says first, and it says then and now. The next one I see going left to right is third on the top and says brewer's best. Then sixth, which says grandma revitalizer.
They've all got very different audiences.
That'd probably be my go-to. Fourth, the next one, you go down the next row. Fourth, shovel and rake. And there's second, atomic sunset. And finally, fifth, Instagram's best voted ale.
I would also like to point out that seems like bottle first, then and now, and bottle fifth, Instagram's best voted ale, both seem to still have their bottle caps on.
Oh, look at that. Good eyeballing.
What, are we able to remove those bottle caps and see what animals and numbers we have there?
Certainly. You unscrew those bottle caps and they too have designs on them. The then and now one has a picture of a chicken and a number 7 on the underside. Sorry, I didn't give you time for chicken.
Oh no, that's a turkey. I'm so embarrassed.
Don't tell anyone I'm a turkey. I'm pretend. Just they'll all think I'm a chicken. Don't let them know.
Trying its best. And the Instagram's best voted ale has a picture of a sheep and the number 6 on the underside. But when you try to put the cap back on that bottle, it doesn't quite screw in right, actually. And yeah, when you pulled it off, it felt like it was sitting a bit funny.
Hmm. Now that I look at the picture again, it looks like it's sitting a bit funny. Huh. Can we try the duck number 5 bottle cap on Instagram's best one?
Absolutely. It's a bit hard to tell, like, just from feel which ones are going to fit. The bottles are very similar. It just happened to be particularly noteworthy that one was sitting a little odd. But yeah, you mix and match some bottle caps and nothing. They're not magic bottle caps, don't worry.
Okay. So it seems like, though, we have all the bottles and all the bottle caps. 6 and 6.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much room to look at. Should we continue around? Gather more clues?
Yeah, let's keep going. Let's take a look at the TV monitor there. We'll just keep going around the room.
It's mounted to the wall, not very big, and it is switched off. You check it out all over. Annoyingly, it looks like it needs a remote to turn it on.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we find the remote.
Uh-huh.
He's cracked the code.
Oh, no.
And we find Mark. No.
And then we solve the puzzle.
That was always the best thing to do in text parser games.
Solve puzzle.
Solve puzzle. Okay. Well, can't do much there until we find this remote.
If we're looking for a remote, we might as well check under the sofa cushions real quick.
Smart. Super smart.
So these sofas, they've been dragged around, flipped on their sides, just totally messed up. And the first thing that you notice about them, there are some spears sticking out of their cushions. What
Jeez.
Has... Wait, hang on. Hold on. You are really freaked out about what Mark's been Whoa. Doing here, and you're still not happy about it. But you get a closer look and realize they're not spears. They're just guitar necks.
Oh, and wow. Okay.
Look, they're super cool. Instead of just painted wood or whatever, they're also made of semi-transparent material, but they're still just broken guitar neck points. So you can see a picture of that too.
For people at home, you can see those guitar necks.
You reach around them and see if you can feel under the cushions for a remote. You do not find one.
No remote, but I think, Jason, it's your turn. Would you like to describe these guitar necks to the people at home?
Okay.
Good luck.
So we have 5 guitar necks, which matches our number of guitar bodies. So there's the top one looks almost kind of like a drop of water. They all have the same long neck, and then what would you call it? The head of the guitar?
That sounds right.
It connects the body.
Apparently.
Yeah, the head of the guitar on the top one kind of looks like a teardrop.
Or Mr. Blobby for our UK audiences, I reckon.
Or Mr. Blobby, yep, there you go.
I said it looked like a pear when I was doing the playtest.
Actually, yes, because I'm going to save drop for another guitar neck that I see. So a pear. The next one is shaped like a rectangle. There's one that's shaped like a triangle. There's one that's shaped like a classic Stratocaster, Fender Stratocaster top. And then there is one that is more like a classic sort of teardrop shape, like an egg with a pointy top. And they all have a teeny little circle at the top, like a Christmas mm-hmm. ornament. Can we look closer at those?
You pretty much bang on exactly what that is. It's like just a very little hook sort of thing.
Okay, to hang them somewhere. And the semi-transparent thing, there's no letters or numbers or anything on either the guitar necks or the guitar bodies?
No, nothing that seems relevant.
Okay.
In addition, just as a bit of extra information so you don't waste too much time with this, the smashed part, like where they disconnected from each other, there's clearly been a little bit of fragmentation there, so it won't be easy to shape slot them back together.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Okay, that's good to know. Should we check the mini fridge?
Yeah, let's keep looking.
The mini fridge has some minor denting on the front and sides. You can't tell if it's from Mark being in a rage or it could have been done several concerts ago, because perhaps someone was angry about not being able to get it open. Wouldn't surprise you, because there is a 6-digit electronic combination lock holding it shut.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, I would bet that we also have 6 bottle caps.
We do.
And I bet that somehow the bottles plus the bottle caps will give us the combination in order. Mm-hmm. But I still don't know how. Is there anything under the table that has the glass M&Ms, or should we just look at the M&Ms?
Yeah.
Quick cursory look under the table.
Table itself, very plain, nothing underneath it. That was where you found one of the bottles earlier, so you've already inspected it.
Okay, perfect.
As for the M&Ms, it's a modest size bowl. Unlike so many other things in the room, it doesn't look like it's been messed with. The M&Ms themselves seem normal. Can't quite put your finger... Oh yeah, okay. Look, not all the colours you'd expect to see are in here. In fact, there are only 4 different colours. There's just blue, green, orange, and yellow. Maybe Mousetail's one of those groups with a funny clause in their contract about removing all the coloured ones just to make sure the venue's reading carefully. You've heard that that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Can we dig through the M&Ms and see if there's any remotes at the bottom of the bowl or anything like that?
It's not quite big enough for that. It's modest.
Okay. And nothing in there but M&Ms. Okay.
Correct.
So this remote has got to be somewhere. Maybe that's what's in the mini fridge, and we've got to figure out this bottle, either the bottle or the guitar. Well, the bottle puzzle will give us the 6-digit combination, I bet.
Yeah. And we got colors, but they don't match up to M&Ms. They're...
No, they seem like they're different.
So the... Chicken has 7 letters, cat has 3 letters, and that's all that matches in terms of the amount of letters and the number.
Yeah, the 0 bottle cap really throws that.
Yeah. Yeah, that does throw that. And horse. If you spell horse with only 2 letters, that's an insult to the horse.
Okay. They don't stand for that.
And also, you made a point of saying the sheep 6th bottle cap didn't fit very well on the Instagram Best Voted Ale, but you didn't say that about the chicken bottle cap on the first Then and Now.
No, that one seemed unobjectionable.
So maybe 7 chicken is supposed to be the first, and that's some kind of clue.
That sounds like a thing.
So we've got to figure out some kind of meaning between like chicken and then and now. And then see if somehow we can figure out some other meanings with these other animals and these other things.
Perfect.
But I am drawing a blank. Then and now. Mm. Also seven letters and an ampersand. But there's no, again, there's no bottle that has zero letters. Yeah. In then and now, there's the word hen. Boy, I'm really
picking
at straws.
I don't think that's the wildest thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really, okay. It's, I mean, it's interesting that there's then and now with an ampersand, and then shovel and rake with the word and.
That's true.
Atomic sunset, grandma revitalizer, Instagram is best voted. Okay, then and now is a chicken. Chicken and the egg. That's what it was then, and now it's a chicken. or then it was a chicken, and now it's my dinner.
One was a racehorse.
Yeah. Shovel and rake are...
Shovel and rake? A duck for shovel and rake?
Why's that?
Because it's shovely beak and a little rakey feet.
I love that.
Because the beak does a shovel. No, that's a no, I think.
I'm very curious about which animal just gives off the vibes of a grandma revitalizer.
A cat for me. A cat, yeah, a cat obviously is a grandma. We've had that one. But also, I would imagine that Instagram's best voted would also be Instagram loves cats. Well. But I think grandma revitalizer of all of these things would be cats. Mm. Shovel and rake are both found in a garden shed.
You are not wrong about the different ends as well.
Oh, okay. So it could be something about like the number of letters or punctuation things, because we also have a apostrophe in Brewer's Best and a dash in Revitalizer, but also Brewer's Best. Just saying it out loud.
You never know.
Sometimes it works.
What do you notice about that?
Well, there's two B's. Wait a second. I think I got it, guys.
What?
I think I got it. All right. Yes, I did. I totally did. I got it. Okay. Then and now.
Yeah.
There's a hen in there in T hen. That's a chicken. Brewer's Best contains the word you. So I believe that's a sheep. And that's six. Shovel and Drake contain the word Drake, which I think would be a duck.
Hey. Nice.
Grandma Revitalizer is mare is in there, and that's a horse. Okay, so wait, let me just write these down so far. So sheep would be third. Sixth would be Grandma Revitalizer. Drake would be fourth. So now we have second and fifth, and one is a deer and one is a cat.
Atomic has Tom.
Yes. Okay. Second. And then deer. Stag. Instagram.
Yeah. Unlike ram, which is why someone might have thought that the sheep one went there.
Right. I see. smart. Smart to. Okay. So now we have the code of the bottles that we'll try on the mini thing is 736. 502.
The mini fridge unlocks.
Yeah!
Hey. It was very interesting hearing you get stuck on that puzzle when you, the first thing you said was, well, T-hen, that's a hen, that's a chicken. That's probably nothing.
And especially Matt, you then went, that could work.
Yeah, Matt, you're like,
and then it was gone anyway.
That isn't nothing, that's something. Nah, you're right, it is nothing. All right.
Quick, it couldn't have been the answer. It needed to be something else.
That was beautiful.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so satisfying. Great puzzle.
Oh, man.
You swing the mini fridge door open. No drinks inside. Well, yeah, they've all been tossed around the room. But there is indeed a TV remote.
Yes!
Oh.
Shall we press the remote?
Yeah.
You press a button on the remote. The monitor switches right on. It must be connected to a camera at the front of the stage because it's showing you a wide shot of the whole audience. Well, almost the whole audience. It doesn't quite reach the far edges at either side. But 99% of the audience can be seen from this screen. And it's big. It's a lot of people. Yeah, you're not surprised that someone might have switched it off and hidden the remote away so they never had to look at it again.
Interesting. So maybe Mark got some stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other channels or volume?
None that seems connected, and it is soundless. You can faintly hear a bit of noise because the audience is really loud, like coming from the door, from behind the curtain and things. There's a little bit of noise passing through, so you don't need a TV to tell you what's going on with that.
Is there anything interesting about the audience or any audience members that stick out?
There's a lot of them. It might be easier if you had something to go on with that. Okay. But there's also, you could potentially go elsewhere to get a different view as well. You've done a good exploration of the green room itself.
Oh.
Should we go back out the south door?
I just assumed we couldn't. What a goof. Is there anything on the door that's interesting? We always have to ask that.
You head to the door, intending to go out, but first you take a very reasonable look at it. From the stage side, you are aware the door is plain except for the words green room printed on them. Helpful. On this side, though, the side visible from inside the green room, there are some hooks, and a set list has been pinned up, so everyone knows the order of play for the show. We're going to give that to you. And Matt, I think it's your turn.
All right. So there's a standard intro. There's a little dash on either side of that. And then the next song titles Under a Bright Sky. Then Yes, comma, Yup, comma, Yeah, which is a very good song title. Then My Gang Left Me, followed by Go Downtown. And then with dashes on either side, standard closing. And in parentheses below that, Encore If Time. And the whole thing, minus the word set list at the very top. Well, that's been scratched out too. The big X through the whole thing. Kind of a scraggly drawn with a pen, not with a marker.
Now, I will say for those in the listening audience who are not fans of Mousetail and don't understand their music, each song is about 25 minutes long. They're kind of like a jam band.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's why they're like, if we have time, we'll do the encore, because they can make these songs last.
We did have a big discussion in the playtest because I described them as a big band about how big band they were.
Yeah, I was very confused for a while. A big band's on stage. Oh, really? How many trumpeters are there?
Yeah, exactly. There's Tessa, Jacob, Mark, and then about 17.
The other 12 dozen. Yeah. Yeah. 12 dozen? Why?
That's called
a lot. 144.
There's also some marks on the wall. Are those pen marks above the set list there? The 1-2 on the left and the thingy on the right?
Yeah, maybe.
Shall we hook some of those guitar necks onto the hooks?
Yes, please.
Or is that not the kind of hooks?
No, it actually looks like exactly the kind of hooks.
I think we should hook on the rectangle and the triangle on those two, at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
You can do that. And those guitar necks are fine. They sort of swing. They fit perfectly. They line up really nicely with those lines and sort of dangle over the set list a little bit. But not much really. Mm.
And maybe these outlines, it looks like the one on the right is like the purple one. And then maybe the green one on the left.
I couldn't agree more.
So we now know that the green circle goes with the rectangle head, and the purple lady's shirt shaped guitar goes with the triangle.
You can't reconnect them exactly, but you can sort of
I'm
hold
assuming
them
that.
In that
yes.
way.
Yeah,
yeah. Looks they right. overlap a little, and you know what? With their transparent bodies and the slight transparency of the necks as well,
whoa.
overlapping points have kind of an effect on the set list.
You can see this in the show notes below, people at home. But Jason, would you like to describe what's different about this set list?
Oh, I was trying to imagine. Ah, interesting. So we have the purple shaded on the right, and we have the green circle shaded on the left. And all of a sudden, we have some blue letters that are coming up. And what's blue is bright, from Under a Bright Sky. Yup, from Yes, Yup, Yeah, which is my personal favorite song. Mm-hmm. The final G and the word left, from My Gang Left Me. And in Go Downtown, O and Down. Those are the blue letters.
The third one's actually a much ruder song than they let on. It's My Gangle Effed Me.
those gangles. They always F you in the end. All right, so that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing the effect that these colorful guitars could have on lettering to make that turn blue.
It's very interesting.
No one could ever figure out how to make a primary color until now.
Hey, for people playing along at home and for people playing along right now, I did the playtest of this and they were not blue. They were like ever so slightly less black. And Danny was like, can't you see that they've changed? And I went, no, what are you talking about? Bright, it's slightly less black than it was. Blue is good.
So one of the things that I'm noticing is the two directions left and down. And that's all I know. And right and up. Right up, left, down.
So wait,
B, Y, O. And the letters that are left from B, right, Y, up are the same as the colors of the M&Ms, blue, green, orange, yellow.
Whoa.
I can feel the electricity of your synapses moving with these. This is fun.
This is exciting. Okay,
that is so cool.
Blue is right. Green is left. I still don't know what this necessarily means. O is down. Orange is down. And yellow is up. Okay. But I don't know what to do with that anymore. Should we continue to go through the door into the curtain and the stage? Or
we're going to be counting M&Ms at some point, maybe.
Oh, yes. I bet we are.
But in the meantime, you're more than welcome to check out the curtain from behind the stage.
Yeah, let's do it.
Probably don't want to just burst out in the middle of the show onto the stage, but this big dark curtain, it completely separates you from the stage, and it's thick enough to drown out a little bit of the screaming from the audience.
Yeah, now, we're invested!
The left side does
you
not
just
have
hear
much...
one guy because of the
we're
curtain.
Still invested!
The left side does not have much wing space, but if you move to the right of the curtain, you think there might be a tiny spot where you could poke your head out without being seen, just a little bit. And if you go towards that, you notice something. What is that? There's a funny glint at the very edge of this curtain.
Mm.
So you lean in to look at it. It's a bit of glitter, like someone glittery brushed past it and some got stuck. Not only that, as you walk, you accidentally kick something. There's a small, empty bottle of glue.
Well, I know from my years of following Mouse Tail on the road that Mark likes glitter.
He likes it, though he doesn't wear it as far as you've seen. I don't know if
That's
they incorporate
true.
It that much on stage because it's a pain to clean up.
No, it's more of his like arts and crafts hobbies.
Well.
Okay, so we have a bottle of glue. We have some glitter.
Do you have Tess or Jacob look glittery? Or do we know that they're always glittery?
No, as far as you're aware, again, first international tour, so you haven't seen them live before. But as far as you know, they like bright colors, but not so much the glitter thing.
Does the glue bottle have anything interesting on it?
No, it's very generic. You recognize the brand well. You could buy it from the corner store here.
Elmer's.
The most delicious
glue. The glue of criminals. Can we peek our head around the curtain?
Yeah, let's do a peek.
You push the edge of the curtain aside just enough that you can see out. Definitely not so much that anyone can see you. Because of that, you can only get eyes on the very far right edge of the audience, just the furthest people out in each row. And even that, still a lot of people. Again, without looking for anything in particular, it's just a swath of bodies. But just makes you hope that you can fix this and not let them all down.
Do we see anybody glittery or sticky? Anybody with a big sign, a glittery sign?
You know what? You peek out as far as you dare, and you're only seeing a small fraction of the audience. Mm. But there is a young woman holding up a homemade sign.
Oh.
With glittery words on it.
Now, interesting.
You can't see them all from this angle, but you do see Mark written on it.
Whoa.
And also on it are several small circular shapes that look recently glued on to make a big shape. You can only again see a fraction of it, but it looks like it's going to be a big heart.
Hmm.
Should we go look at the monitor and see if we can see the whole sign?
Yeah, let's try that and see if, is there any way to zoom in or is there a...
It seems pretty fixed.
Standing in the green room on your walkie-talkie. Enhance.
Yeah, exactly.
Zoom in and enhance.
I'm like unpinching my fingers on the screen.
Well, you get up close to the monitor, you search for your glitter woman. Not all that many signs, so it doesn't take you too long to find her. It says, marry me. From there, remember the peripheral of the monitor was cut off, so you can't see the word Mark now, but clearly it said, marry me, Mark. And it is indeed little colorful round things glued on to form a big heart.
Okay.
What color are the little round things? Or is there just a bunch of different colors?
There are a few different colors there. They might be blue. They might be yellow.
Yeah.
Green, orange?
You know what? Yeah.
Those are the four colors represented.
Okay. And it seems like maybe this lady had been backstage at some point.
It does.
I say.
She's an M&M thief.
She stole some M&Ms and glued them in a big heart onto her poster with glitter and glue. She rubbed past the curtain, which is also something she will pay for. Even though our uncle is totally rich and it'll probably wouldn't even notice, and it'll devastate her.
He'll only remain rich if this concert goes off perfectly.
Okay, oh yeah.
He's invested 100% of his fortune in this particular concert.
Okay.
I will tell you, Sage, there was one thing in the green room that did not get full observation.
Oh, interesting.
Is it the walls?
Yes, exactly.
Ah, the brick walls. Yeah, I think we could go back inside and look at those brick walls.
I'd like to look at the brick walls.
Yeah.
You head back into the green room. Wait, no, you were at the monitor. You stay in the green room. The walls, plain brick all round. None of the hundreds are particularly standing out. Well, except for that one in the middle of the right wall. It's just got some scratches on it. Kind of looks like a capital N. It's probably nothing. Anyway, the only other thing going on with these walls is there are two posters hung up, promotional ones from Mouse Tales' national tour last year and the year before. Not as cool as tonight's big international debut, of course, but they still look pretty cool. And so we'll give you almost last two images.
So for people at home, you can see these posters?
You can have one each to talk about.
All right. Yeah. First, before we describe these posters, we should check these bricks one by one. Yep.
There's only so long that Tessa and Jacob can keep up their warm-up.
All right, let's see.
All right, at the top, real big. It's cool scribbly marker style art. And it says 2022 in kind of blocky numbers like this. The zero is a square, rectangle. And then there's three figures, and they're kind of like black marker, like scribble people, like you used to do. And the one on the left is the drummer, probably, because they got drumsticks or sticks in their hand. And they got a pointy green hat on, like when you're in the rice fields and you need to protect your head from the sunshines.
What do you call that style hat?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
A rice hat.
I want to call it a rice hat, but that doesn't feel right.
I think it's a rice
hat. Raiden, if anybody in the audience is familiar with Mortal Kombat, it's a Raiden hat.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, this you would throw to chop off.
It's not a Kung Lao hat. No. Kung Lao throws his hat. Raiden just wears it to protect his eyes when he shoots thunder at you.
Yeah, we'll say it is just a Raiden hat-shaped wig.
It is a wig,
though. Oh, yeah, because they're hair. They're obviously hair. Okay, so yeah, cool triangle green hair. And then the drummer presents a red belt and red shoes. The person in the middle has a microphone like they're the singer. They have shoulder-length pink hair, pretty sweet bangs, a blue belt, a green shoe on their right foot, and a yellow shoe on their left foot. And then there's a person holding a guitar who I believe has a yellow mohawk, no visible belt, and two blue shoes. Light blue shoes.
Almost a cyan.
A cyan is exactly right.
Cyan shoe.
Cyan shoe. Cyan shoe.
Vocal warm up. Vocal warm up.
And the 2023 poster is similar. We still have a drummer on the left, singer in the middle, guitarist on the right. But things are a little bit different in 2023, which is written in block letters in the upper right corner. The drummer now has magenta hair, a green belt, and cyan shoes. The singer now has a Raiden hat-shaped hairstyle, but it's blonde, I guess you would say, about yellow hair, and a dark blue belt, and one red shoe and one cyan shoe. The guitarist now has green mohawk-ish type hair, and the belt is not visible, and yellow shoes this time. So this is interesting, especially when you go back and forth. Belt, shoes. I don't know how we use this yet, but let's see.
Yeah, there's a point on the podcast when you're describing an image and you're getting towards the end of describing the image and you're like, I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah.
And it's just a delightful moment of panic.
More than fair.
Oh, and then there's an N on a brick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can we look at that closely?
I mean, there's not much more that you can do with it. The brick is very normal, like all of the others, but scratched in and it looks like an N.
Okay.
Is it like in between the posters? Is there an order to posters and brick or anything like that?
No, completely unrelated. Not even on the same wall.
Anything under the posters on the brick? Or on the backs of the posters?
Just more normal bricks.
That's what I thought. Interesting. They're trying to fool us with very realistic looking fake bricks.
Uh-huh. That sounds like an escape room, all right?
I mean, true.
So some interesting things that I notice is it's the same three colors of hair, but switched around. The singer is always wearing two different color shoes, whereas both the drummer and the guitarist are wearing the same color in each picture. On their right and left foot, I mean, not as each other. So I'm wondering if it kind of like rotates around.
The guys in the middle Mark still has the same color belt.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Which would make me think that in the first picture, the belt that we cannot see, if they only own three belts between them, is red. The guitarist has a red belt in the 2023 and a green belt in the 2022. But I don't know if that's for sure.
There may be more information that you can gather from this.
No, we got it. We're going to work this until...
Okay.
We have what looks like with the M&Ms, we have the blue right, yellow
green left, orange.
Yeah. I don't know what we'd be turning, but we could count some M&Ms and then have numbers to associate with those things.
The M&Ms, and it's a modest bolt. They are eminently countable, I would say.
Oh, they are.
I reckon you could count them. Wouldn't take you too long. Definitely okay. Quicker than checking every single brick like you wanted to do earlier.
We'll get to it.
Let's, should we count some M&Ms?
I love it.
You meticulously take out every M&M. You sort them by color. Not that huge, thankfully. You count 19 blue, 19 yellow, 20 orange, 33 green, and hang on, right at the bottom of the pile, there is a gross faded gray one. It looks like it's been here forever. There's no way of knowing what color it once was. Even, you know how it's got an M written on top? Even a bit of that is faded. Like, one of the lines is gone. It doesn't look like an M anymore. It's that old.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I guess we eat it? No.
Yeah, we gotta eat the one right away.
Gotta eat the old one. Can't let our uncle see that. Okay, interesting. So part of the M is faded.
Yeah, one of the lines is gone.
So it almost looks like an N, much like a brick.
Yeah. You know what? One could describe it that way. It would have been much more efficient if I had.
Okay, minus whatever creepy fan in the audience stole to make her heart.
Yeah, should we count those two?
Yeah, look at the monitor. You can't see too much from the monitor. Just three more blues, two greens, three oranges.
Wait, three more blues, two more greens.
And three oranges.
Three oranges.
You sigh, you rush back out to the side of the curtain and you peek out to see what you can see there. And it's really hard. She keeps waving it around and ruining your count. But from this side, three more blue, two more green, five more orange, two more yellow. And that's it. That's all the M&Ms.
So all together, we have 25 blues, 37 green.
Yes.
28 orange.
Yep.
And
21 yellow.
All right. And still one weird, creepy old gray one. So if we were also, I still don't know what this means, but if we were to transpose that, we would say 25 blue right, in case there's some kind of directional safe later, 37 left, 28 down, and 21 up.
I'm just going to put this out there. Blue, yellow, and green are all odd numbers, and orange is an even number. So if that gray one has to go somewhere, maybe it's maybe to make it odd. Just putting it out into the universe.
Yep.
I have no idea what it means.
If we were to follow these directions, we could make them easier for ourselves by just going 12 to the left and 7 down. Instead of having to just go up and down and left and right. I don't know if that means anything. Is there an audience member on the monitor that is 12 left and 7 down?
Like, what would your starting point be for that?
All standing in a grid as there is a tiny notice at the front door that says, please stand in your square so that... All right, I don't know what that any of this means.
You could potentially go like 12 left and 7 down, but you would need somewhere to start. Yeah, if you were
as long
doing
as you can
that.
Find somewhere to start.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Bricks.
Oh, north.
Bricks.
We start with that N brick.
Mm-hmm.
It matches your weird M&M.
Okay. And then we go 12 left and 7 down, or we go 25 right and then 37 left and then... But what if we just go 12 left and 7 down?
Along the bricks, you count them carefully. They all look identical, so it would be easy to lose your place. So doing 12 left, 7 down is probably the most efficient way that it can be managed. Looks the same as any other the brick you end up on, but all the same, you poke at it, you prod at it, and when you do, a little bit of the grout around it comes loose.
Yes!
This brick has been previously removed.
Mark turned into a brick!
You found me, hello!
You use everything you've got to help pry it out, and sure enough, it pulls away and reveals a hole. Just a little one. And inside it are two pieces of paper. One folded, one scrunched.
Oh.
The folded is closer and has no image attached to it, so you reach for that one first. It's a short note. I'm alone back here. A girl managed to sneak in after Tessa and Jacob went on stage. She had this sign and said she wanted me to read it, but it wasn't ready yet. She sat down and started gluing and colouring. It was pretty weird. But while she was doing it and I was watching, I realised something. For once, I'm glad security didn't do their job, because that girl showed me what I really want. All these years, I've been an artist, but I haven't really been an artist. Not the kind I dreamed of being. I loved gluing and colouring at school, and even some of my fans know I still have a penchant for glitter. Oh, I still love it now. I can't wait another second. Goodbye, Mouse Tail. I'll trash the place so you don't miss me as much. And I won't be needing this anymore.
No!
You are numb as you read it. He's gone? He's quitting music? He can't. So many people, so many fans. Not to mention your uncle, all the venue staff. They're all counting on this concert. You are freaking out. And you desperately look at the scrunched up piece of paper. And this is your last image for the room.
Wow, this is so... So we've got to stop him from following his heart.
He is gone.
the heart has been followed. You can't stop him now.
Oh, he already followed. So he's going to go marry the crazy fan.
I think so.
Oh, the rule. Okay,
I don't think she had much to do with it.
No, I think he'll marry her and they'll glue things to things until they grow old.
Oh, all right, boy. So just wait about 12 months and then follow her. And you'll eventually find him.
Exactly.
Okay, this is interesting. So we've got to create a 2024 poster. No repeat hair, but there's not many options because those are their three wigs, which means that the drummer has to have the yellow hair, the singer has to have green hair, and magenta hair for our guitarist. That's the first rule. Other two can wear any shoes. Not me. I know my tradition, but they've got to match me somehow.
Well, he's already worn green and yellow and blue and red, so it has to be a new combination.
Oh, yeah.
New combination wasn't one of the rules, so not necessarily, but because of the hair thing, like it will be slightly different for sure. Not everything has to be different necessarily.
Gotcha.
Okay, so in 2022, he's wearing shoes that are the color of the other guy's hair.
So that is indeed following that rule. They do match each other.
They're matching, yes, exactly. And in 2023, his hair matches the guitarist's shoes, and his shoe matches the drummer's shoe. Okay.
Yep, so there's a specific hair rule. Apparently, the other two, the drummer and the guitarist, can wear whatever shoes they want, but Mark has some sort of personal rule about it for himself.
He has to wear two different color shoes, seems like.
One thing you should probably know, you don't get to decide what Jacob and Tessa are wearing.
Right. They just wear whatever they want. Oh, no. Ah, let's go look and see what they're wearing tonight.
Yeah, I could think of That's awesome.
It's not a perfect angle for details, but you peek out the side of your curtain again, and from what you can make out, Tessa, the drummer, has a yellow wig, dark blue belt, and red shoes.
Okay.
And Jacob, the guitarist, everything is purple, that magentary purple color.
Okay, all right. Okay, this is great. So they got to match him somehow. And all we know about Mark is that he's got to have green hair. So we have to figure out what color his shoes are. So his shoes and his belt have to match the other guys somehow. Okay, he has a dark blue belt both times. Oh, this is just my favorite thing when I don't know, but I know at some point one of us will break through.
Yeah, you know it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah. At first I was wondering if he chooses one shoe based on like the combination of something, but I couldn't, you know, the combination of two other elements. Oh, wait. So with his first pair of shoes, he matched their hair.
Yeah.
But the second pair of shoes, he just had an off night and he messed up.
He just got it wrong. What an idiot.
There's the question, isn't it? Because it says they have to match him somehow. So did he match his shoes to their hair or did they match their hair to his shoes?
Exactly. Right. I think they matched their hair to his shoes. So... his tradition, so I'm trying to figure out, basically I'm trying to figure out if there's some connection between, since he's not necessarily matching to them, they have to match him. Is there a way he chooses his shoes based on the combination of his hair and belt? Like what I was looking at in 2023 is on the left, on his right foot is primary colors and his left foot would be a combination of... So in 20... Oh, he wears the shoes.
Oh, man, I've been...
From the last from the last year. So I bet in 2021, Tessa was wearing green shoes and Jacob was wearing yellow shoes. So this year, he would be wearing one magenta, one cyan shoe, and one yellow shoe.
All right. What's it starting to look like now, and is it following the rules?
So yes, so the drummer has yellow hair and he has one yellow shoe, so right. that he matches, and then yep. the belt has to be magenta, otherwise there's no way to match the all magenta guitarist. So we are looking for somebody with green hair, a magenta belt, and one cyan shoe on the right. And a yellow shoe on the left.
Very yeah. nice. You can scour the audience for this all you like, but you're not going to find them. And you are pretty convinced Mark's just gone. He is not going to be found.
Oh, it's time to hit the costume section and see what we can put on ourselves since we are the biggest fan in the world and we're ready to step yes. on stage. No one will know.
Any green wigs in that costume, Rick?
Oh, you know what? There are a couple of green wigs. Do you have a style that you're looking for?
Oh, dang it.
Yes. Yes, we do.
It'll be spiky hair.
There is a spiky green one. Yes. Excellent. Yes.
Is there a magenta belt?
Absolutely, there is.
Perfect.
Is there one cyan right-footed shoe and one yellow left-footed shoe?
You know what?
Honestly, if it's the wrong foot, we'll put them on. We'll get
them
on.
There are full pairs, but you mix and match as appropriate. Yes, you've got them. And you know what? You take out your phone and you look at your reflection in the camera. And look, it's more convincing than you'd expect. The wig is doing a lot of heavy lifting here.
We feel amazing. This is like the greatest. This is like when Mark Wahlberg in Rockstar gets the part.
Yeah.
All right. Matt, what's
your
next move?
We're going to marry that lady too.
See how long we can go before she realizes we are not, in fact, Mark.
What's going on? What do you do now? You are dressed up?
We are going to swing open that curtain.
Yeah.
Heart pounding, head sweating beneath the wig, you push past the curtain and you take just numb steps on stage. Maybe it's because the shoes don't quite fit. Maybe it's just the nerves. You're trying something pretty ballsy here, but you go out there.
What's the set list?
Rippling wave of shrieks goes up from the crowd. It's a Doppler effect of screams from the front to the back.
Amazing.
Tessa and Jacob turn to see you. They stare. Well, you think they do. They put on sunglasses at some point. You didn't notice that, so it's a little hard to tell. Your heart thuds. Oh, they know. They definitely know. But they give you just that little head nod, and then they turn back to the crowd.
Yes.
You walk forward as well. You walk towards the main microphone stand. The crowd noise is deafening.
Yeah, deafening.
Wish you found some earplugs, but that's okay.
We're so loud.
You clear your throat. Behind you, the others play the opening beat and chords of the first song of the opening set. You know it, right? Yeah, you hope you remember all the words. And you hope you can put on Mark's distinctive singing voice. Because if not, there are tens of thousands of people watching you who might not stay as happy as they are now. No pressure. You open your mouth, and you get to take us out for the end of this episode.
If you could just quickly sing through...
something that's public domain, that'd be great.
So this first song goes out to my future wife in the third row on the right side of the audience.
She faints dead away. She's gone.
Oh, gosh, she's being trampled. Oh, no, what have I done?
No!
Oh, my gosh.
Rock.
Well, let's see. What is the... we got to look back at the set
list.
It's
the standard intro, so I assume they're playing the standard intro.
Oh, they've done the standard intro. It's time for Under a Bright Sky. Here we go.
I was standing on a dull ground, but I was under a bright sky.
Extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Escape This Podcast. Don't forget to tune in next week for Podcast This Escape, where we debrief with our guest and discuss the escape room that we just escaped from.